Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
You know, there are five things that a home appraiser wishes that you knew when they are appraising the value of your property. Okay, so for starters, every time you get a mortgage, you're going to get an appraisal. This is the bank's opportunity to value your property based upon the sticks and the bricks, as we say in the industry. That is how the house was built. Recently, I was on an appointment, and as I walked around the exterior of the property, I noticed that the construction of brick was actually brick and block. Now, to explain, the difference between brick and block and running brick is fairly simple, and you may or may not know that you have a brick and block house. So here is the usual way of telling if you have brick or block. Brick and block, excuse me. If you walk outside and look at the brick on the lower level of your house, if you have an out-of-ground basement, or if you look at the first floor of your house, if you notice that every seventh row of your brick, it looks as if you have a half a brick. You don't have a half a brick. What you have is a full brick that's been turned inside to the wall so that the brick on the outside is tied to the inside wall of your house. You can also tell by going into an unfinished space of your basement if you have concrete block or cinder block walls. The difference there is concrete is made with concrete. Cinder blocks truly are made with cinder ash from old fires. Well, if you look at those blocks, you would notice two full blocks, and then you would see, again, a half, what looks like a half a brick row. That, again, is the end of the brick. We call it a header. The header brick sticks into the inside of your house and ties the outside brick course to the inside brick block, making your home virtually impenetrable. It's like a battleship. What makes the difference for an appraiser when they see a house that's brick and block versus a house that has what we call just running brick, and I'll explain that in a minute, is they know that the quality of the construction and the time necessary to build that particular quality of construction should add value to your property. Running brick is very popular. In fact, if you built your house in the last probably 30 to 40 years, most definitely the outside course of brick is what we call running brick. It's actually brick that's resting on a lintel. A lintel is a piece of steel or iron sometimes that rests on the base of the foundation of your house. It sticks out like a ledge, and then the brick is then built on top of the ledge. The brick is not tied to the inside of your house, but rather just the mortar, as the brick is laid up against the wall of the property, keeps the brick and the house together. Now, that is a running brick house and very common. Houses built typically prior to 1966, 1967 are brick and block more often than they are just running brick. But after that, it's almost universally a running brick house. Now, your appraiser wants you to know that they're not looking to look at your cleanliness, okay? The appraiser is not looking to see how well you keep your carpets or how many towels you have in your closet. It's not a bad idea to declutter and dust and so on before you show your property so it doesn't distract the appraiser from the value, but don't worry. They're not going to devalue your home because it's messy. Okay, you want to get your paperwork in order. If you know that you've added space to your house and it's square footage that might add to the value of your property, have that available. If you know that your home has special features, for instance, perhaps your home has an outlot off the back of the property. There was a home that I sold in Bethesda. Actually, I sold two homes on the same street on Winston in Bethesda. Now, both of these houses backed up to an open area between them and the houses behind them. And that open area was just open outlots that could never be built on. Well, this house happened to have that outlot, and essentially it was free space for use. Now, granted, it did not add a lot of value, but had it not been mentioned during the appraisal, then I think the appraiser might not have recognized the $5,000 to $7,000 in additional value that the outlot brought to that property. You may know something like that, or you may know that, hey, your home is right on the line between two school districts. One school district may be much more favorable than the other. Clearly, you want to point out that you're in the more favorable one if you are. Make sense? Good. So there's an epidemic of puffery when it comes to appraising. People will say anything to get people to believe in the value of their property. Puffery means exaggeration, not reality. Look, appraisers are not magicians, right? They're not going to know what your home is worth the second that they walk into the door. So they're going to need to walk through and understand it. If you have a list of all the improvements you've made, that is very helpful to the appraiser. He's going to pull comparable listings called comps, as we say in the real estate business, from the nearby area, typically within a quarter, half, or even a mile. If there aren't many comparables available like your home, they will go farther out. Now, these are homes that are similar in style, location, footage. They're all sold within the last few years, but most especially in the last 6 months. They're coming to your house to determine the condition and the quality, as well as any other factors that would affect the cost of the home. And they're going to use that information to make an accurate assessment. It usually takes a few days from their visit to complete that appraisal. As a real estate agent representing sellers many times, we will sell properties sometimes above our list price. In fact, I'm settling one in about a week that I sold above the asking price. Now, most of the houses in that neighborhood have not sold that way, so I have to be mindful of getting with the appraiser, getting the information to the appraiser so that I'm winning the day for my seller by representing my seller's interest with the appraiser to make sure that the appraiser doesn't miss all the features the home has to offer. A good appraiser's really worth their weight in gold. We have appraisers who come in sometimes from Timbuktu who really don't understand the value of a location. And the comparables they use, they're incorrect. Most often than not, if an appraiser makes a serious error in coming up with the value of your property, we're able to appeal that appraisal and have another appraisal done. Sometimes the appraisal is completed and turned in, and then we discover that, unfortunately, after it's already been submitted. If that happens, it is the seller's option to reject the appraisal and to come back and say, I'll pay for a second appraisal, giving the opportunity to the seller to value their property correctly where the price really should be. Don't put too much stock in your home improvements. Okay, so I have a home, unfortunately, when I walked in to look at the house, it had been on the market for 7 months with a different broker. I was asked to come in and walk through, and Jim and my group and I went over to meet with the seller. Well, I walked into the powder room on the first level, and guess what? Water was coming down the inside wall of that powder room. The roof had failed. And my friend, who's a great roofer, his name is Fred Depp. You can find him in the preferred vendor guide you can download on my site. Well, he came by. He took a look at the property. Guess what? The sellers had already had him out at the property, but they hadn't wanted to fix the roof because it wasn't leaking yet. Well, this roof was very shot. In fact, the shingles were cupping badly, which means they were cupping up from wear and erosion. Well, unfortunately for the seller, the sheathing underneath the roof had also been affected. So the roof comes off, the sheathing comes off, the house will now go up, but they're not going to get $15,000, the price they're going to pay for the roof, they're not going to get all of that back through the appraisal. The appraiser will give some value, typically in this case, maybe 30 to 40% of the cost of the roof. Why? Because everyone expects a roof on the house, and just because it's new, doesn't give you the full value. Same is true for windows. Appraisers stress moderation in assuming how much your shiny brand new kitchen will add directly to the worth of your house. So if you spent $50,000, you're likely to see only a fraction of that returned value by the appraiser. A new pool? Similar. It doesn't really bring as much value as people think. As for a finished basement? Well, unfortunately, that's really less help because the finished basement space in a house is underground. The above-ground square footage is more valuable in an appraiser's eyes than the below square footage that may be finished. I'm not saying don't have a finished basement. Just be aware you're not going to get as much for the value of that square footage as you will for the first floor and above. And as I mentioned, puffery, we do want to be careful not to insult the appraiser, okay? If you're including the basement square footage in your total, are you hoping no one's going to notice that your roof isn't new? Prepare yourself ahead of time with a pragmatic estimate that might ease the appraisal process, meaning don't be afraid to give a clear idea of all the benefits you have according to what's actually been done. All right? Hey, your appraiser, he's happy or she's happy to go to the office and pull 20 to 30 comparables, but you want to find a good agent who will prepare in advance and make sure they have the best comparables to get your value where it needs to go. Coming up, the future of batteries in your home. My predictions for solar power and battery-operated single-family homes in the future, right after this. We'll be right back.